another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley back here with you today on the Rediscover Hour. It's good to be with you. And we're deep into the month of October. Wow, it's kind of amazing how quickly this month has flown by, at least in my life. What is your favorite month? My favorite month is actually the month of October. I love it for a number of reasons. First of all, the colors, the glorious colors. I had a weekend last weekend up in the northern part of the state, and the colors were just brilliant, glorious. It was wonderful to see. There's a little bit of a chill in the air. There's the light just becomes so crisp this time of year. And then we've got things coming up to look forward to. We have the Solemnity of All Saints on November 1st, of course, All Souls Day on November 2nd. And, you know, the holidays are just coming into view. Well, of course, if you go shopping these days, I mean, you're seeing the holidays everywhere from about the end of September, right? But certainly we're just starting to think about, see, Thanksgiving coming into view, time to be together with family and loved ones. And then, yeah, even Christmas is on the horizon. I shudder to even mention it here. But we've got something else coming up, too, which I'm sure that you're probably aware of. On November 8th, we have an election coming up, and that's what's going on in many people's lives. And, you know, regardless of where you are and what you're feeling like about the election these days, I came across a post on a social media site that I thought really sums up well where my feelings are. And it goes something like this. The two of the unlikeliest of candidates are squaring off in a contest that, whichever way it goes, will make history. Many people, of course, have expressed their views, and since I, at this point, so adamantly support one contestant over the other, I feel that I, too, must express my views, which are, go Cubs, go. It's the World Series is going on, too. I don't know if people have noticed that, but Cubs and Indians, I'm very impressed that both of these teams are vying in the World Series. So it's a wonderful time of year. Despite what pressures or stresses you may be thinking about or experiencing with the election. Well, hey, we've got a show dedicated to helping us form our Catholic consciences and looking ahead to Election Day, to voting. And we've got a couple of folks joining us today. We're going to be speaking with Jason Adkins, who's the Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. We're going to hear some things about him, from him about things like the common good and responsible or faithful citizenship. And we're looking forward also to speaking on the phone with Brian Wenger, who's going to be a speaker at a Higher Calling Series event on true leadership coming up on Monday, November 14th. We're going to have more information about that event as we go on. But as we speak to him on the phone, we're going to be talking about actually what a leader actually is. What is Christian leadership, and how do our Catholic principles actually inform what true leadership actually means? So this, I think, is an important show, especially as we are coming up on the election, as we need to think about how our Catholic views, our Catholic conscience, and our Catholic lives actually inform the way that we think about and then choose, elect our leaders. So with all this, with this important show laid out in front of us, I think it's important that we dedicate it, as always, to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please join me now as we dedicate this show to her. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's what we've got coming up this morning on the Rediscover Hour. So stick with us, and we'll invite Jason Adkins into the studio right after this break.
Discover. Come celebrate 800 years of Catholic evangelization and tradition with the Order of Preachers, the Dominicans, on Saturday, November 5th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Holy Rosary Church in South Minneapolis. Archbishop Hebda will preside at Solemn Vespers at 6:30 p.m. A blessing will be offered for couples who are married at any Dominican parish, followed by a special blessing for anyone taught by Dominicans or who attended a Dominican school. Then stay for veneration of a relic of St. Jude Thaddeus, the largest relic of any apostle located outside of Rome. Holy Rosary Church is located at East 24th Street and 18th Avenue South. More details can be found at holyrosaryop.org. This is a free event and is open to the public. Complimentary wine and hors d'oeuvres provided, as well as a free drawing for a papal blessing. That's Solemn Vespers at 6:30 p.m., blessings at 7 p.m., and veneration of the relic of St. Jude Thaddeus at 7:30 p.m. at Holy Rosary Church. That's holyrosaryop.org.
He is indeed the Lord of the earth and the master of the sea, is he not? Oh, it's good to be with you here on the Rediscover Hour, late in the month of October, and we're looking ahead and all the exciting things coming up, including an election. An election is coming up, and that's what we're talking about today. We've got in studio joining us Jason Adkins, who served as the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference since March 2011, who also teaches at the St. Paul Seminary and writes a regular column that appears in diocesan newspapers around Minnesota. He appears very frequently, I would say, on radio and TV, and he is indeed here joining us today. Good morning, Jason. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Patrick. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, very good. So just in case some of our listeners don't know you and know what you do a little bit, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do there at the Minnesota Catholic Conference? And then I'd also like to know what specifically is one of your favorite parts of the job. What really fuels your fire?
Well, the Minnesota Catholic Conference is a short way of saying it's the Minnesota Catholic Conference of Bishops. So it's a way in which the state, all the seven bishops of our state, all bishops of all six dioceses get together and convene and focus on a number of things that they can do statewide in Minnesota. And one of the main responsibilities of the Minnesota Catholic Conference is to bring the bishops' public policy initiatives to the Capitol and to the halls of Congress as well sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a blessing and an opportunity. What we do is, beyond simply lobbying, also try to help Catholics be better faithful citizens. So I love that role and responsibility as an educator, as an evangelist. The public arena really is a missionary field. And Pope Francis calls us to understand all the church's institutions, even the political ones, in a missionary key. And so we look at ourselves at the Catholic Conference not just as lobbyists, but actually primarily as disciples and evangelists and helping other people live their missionary responsibilities of faithful citizenship in the public arena. So it's really a blessing and an honor, not without its challenges, you can imagine, but something that's really a beautiful gift. And I'm very blessed to have this opportunity.
Yeah, wonderful. So it's interesting the way that you tied together faithful citizenship and our mission, our responsibility as baptized lay people, as living out our faith in the world. Tell us a little bit more about responsible citizenship, or as the USCCB has put it, and the Minnesota Catholic Conference as well, faithful citizenship. What does that mean?
Well, Pope Francis, echoing the social doctrine of the church, says politics is one of the highest forms of charity because it serves the common good. And I think that's very counterintuitive, that politics and our work in the public arena is actually a charitable activity. So just as we manifest our love for others and our love of neighbor by creating schools, providing health care, creating charitable institutions, going forth, as Pope Francis calls us to live the joy of the gospel, the public arena, as I mentioned, is one of those mission fields where we bring the love of Christ and work for the good of our neighbor, and we work for the common good and the dignity of all human persons. Pope Francis says, a good Catholic meddles in politics. So politics is not something, especially in a democracy like ours, that we delegate to other people. It actually requires the responsible participation, the faithful citizenship, really, as you said, of all of us. We all need to play a part because all of our perspectives matter. And we need to, as people of charity, bring our gifts to the wider community and share those gifts. That's what a community means, is a sharing of gifts. And if people aren't participating, if they're not bringing their gifts, each and every one of us, mm-hmm. then the whole community suffers. So that's why in a political system like ours, it's important for everyone to participate and bring their voice and bring their gifts to the common discourse about how we order our common life together. And that's what politics and building the common good is really all about.
Now, it's interesting that you, the way that you frame that, in that it sounds to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like you're speaking on at least a couple of different levels here. On one hand, you're talking about us as individuals bringing our own gifts into the public arena, the public forum, as it were. And then on the other hand, especially with your work with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, you're speaking of it almost organizationally or institutionally, that there is a public policy that it's, so there's both an individual but also a corporate responsibility to bring these gifts into the public sphere. Is that right?
That's exactly right. We are individual disciples, and we have our own responsibilities, our own particular callings, our own particular gifts that we have. Just as we are many parts, we're all one body. Though,
yeah, I've
at the
heard
same
that somewhere
time.
Before.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. And so we're also responsible as a church, as the people of God, to bring the love of Christ into our communities. If we want to build the just society, if we want to build a society rooted in friendship and solidarity, then we as a church need to model that. And so it's very important that we work not just as individuals, but also in concert and in community. And we have this great gift of Catholic social teaching to provide the principles for common action in the public arena. And what we try to do at the Minnesota Catholic Conference is bring people out of their silos, get them working together in a common way. And that's why we create resources such as the Catholic Advocacy Network, which is why we're hosting an event at the Capitol next March called Catholics of the Capitol, our first statewide Catholic Day on the Hill. So that's right. We're individuals and we have responsibilities, but we're also a church, and it's important that we work together as a church as well in the public arena for the common good.
Right. So we've talked about the common good. You've talked about the common good. You've brought it up a couple of times now, and you've framed it up, I think, rather nicely. But can you give us a kind of a nutshell definition of how is the common good defined? How should we view the common good?
Sure. We get a lot of criticism for talking about the common good.
Really?
Because people say, oh, that sounds like socialism or something like that. And really, it's nothing like that at all. The church and its teaching of the common good, rooted, of course, in the wisdom of St. Thomas Aquinas and even Aristotle before him, and even the Hebrew prophets, really speaks to the creating the conditions by which everyone can flourish, right? So that's the task of politics. Politics is not going to build the kingdom of God. It's not going to bring about heaven on earth, but it's going to create those conditions by which we can flourish. And so politics has a very important but a very limited role. Right? We don't put our faith in politics. It's an important task and it's an important activity, but it merely provides those conditions by which we can help human beings and all social institutions flourish.
Right.
And if we do that, if we just create those conditions for flourishing, then the church can do its work of not just working for the good of people at the earthly and the material level, but it can also then have the ground prepared so that the seed of the gospel can fall on fertile soil. We say that it's much easier to evangelize when people's bellies are full, when there's food over their head, when they have good health care, when they have good educations, when they have access to jobs and opportunities. That's not always the case, of course. We know that in many cases that are very poor, the gospel is much richer and much more lived and appreciated than it is in some very wealthy countries. But at the same time, we want to work for a society where it's easier for men and women to be good.
Right. Fantastic. Jason Adkins is our guest today on the Rediscover Hour, talking about faithful citizenship and the common good, and especially in light of this election that's coming up on November 8th. We have a voting day coming. And now, Jason, some of the common objections that I see out there is to people, why people might just opt to stay home. I know some people who have been very committed to the political process up to this point who are just saying, I don't even know if I'm going to vote this November and that sort of thing. And I hear objections such as, the lesser of two evils is still evil. That's one that I've heard. Another one that I've heard is that my vote doesn't really matter. I can't really change things with one vote in the midst of millions of voters. And maybe more particular in the church, that Jesus is still on his throne either way. So regardless of what happens, it's all about who Jesus is. And my contribution to society can be minimalized, I guess, as you might say, something like that in terms of going to the voting booth. Well, how would you respond to some of these common objections or the sense that I don't know if I'm even going to vote this year?
Well, let me start with that last point and then work backward.
That's great.
The idea that, yes, the final victory has been won, and oftentimes we forget that. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will inaugurate his kingdom here on earth. That being said, that still doesn't absolve us of the responsibility to build a society and reflect a love of our neighbor. Politics is not merely a power game by which one group or one faction imposes its will upon the other. The church understands politics as an aspect of service and charity. And so, therefore, as missionary disciples, we have a responsibility to still work in the public arena. Now, that manifests itself in many ways. Some people are called to public office. Some people are called to be activists and work in organizations on a particular issue. But one of the very easy things we can do in a society like ours, and we have the privilege and opportunity to vote for candidates. Now, we're not always presented with candidates who we like, but politics is a lot, in many ways, a reflection of the culture. And oftentimes, politics and laws are made by the people who show up. So what we see more and more throughout Minnesota, especially, is many, many seats for mayor, for example, 35 or 40 cities have no one running for mayor. Many city council seats are running, and there's not another in many cities, and there are not enough people to run for them. Many, many legislative races at all levels of government in Minnesota are candidates running unopposed. And so if we don't like the candidates, I think we can also say, well, what responsibility do I have to enter into the public arena to spend my Wednesday nights at the city council? Oftentimes I hear about people watching Fox News or MSNBC to quote unquote stay informed, and all the time they spend watching these what are really entertainment channels to quote unquote be informed. They could be spending in better ways, you know, working on their community board, being a member of their city council or their school board. We worry so much about the education system, but who's running for school board? So if we don't like the candidates, then there's something that we can, in a tangible way, do about that. Now, not everyone's called to office, but there are ways in which we can exercise that responsibility of civic friendship and get our own, get involved where we can make the most difference. And that's in our own backyard, our own corner of the vineyard, so to speak. Now, to your question regarding voting, even if you don't like what's going on at the presidential level, and there's a lot of reason not to like either candidate, I can give you 209 reasons why you should still show up on election day.
Well, we only have a limited amount of time today, so
that's right.
209.
209, but let me give you 201 are the state legislators who are up for office, all 201 state elected officials in our legislature, and 8 congressional districts. So right there, those are important races where a lot of important decisions are going to be made. People who care about the life issues, for example, we might be looking at a very strong assisted suicide debate here in Minnesota next spring. So where do your candidates stand on that issue, for example? And so we got to look at the candidates, and we have an opportunity here in Minnesota where you can print out your ballot right now. You can start studying 2 weeks before Election Day who the candidates are and get to know them. And down ballot voting really makes a difference. And even again, even if you don't like what's going on at the presidential level, a lot of reasons to show up on Election Day.
Right. Well, that's good reason given right there. So let's say that maybe, you know, obviously news is saturated with information, regardless of the slant or opinion or whatever. And as you said, so-called entertainment channels or those things that are really entertainment channels or have various views on the candidates and that sort of thing. But a lot of times to become more informed about these down ballot candidates, as it were, it's hard to find information. So how would you suggest if somebody is just starting to research, especially the down ballot candidates, where should they go? What should they do? How should they look for information on these folks?
Well, we think the best place to start is our website, mncatholic.org.
All right.
Again, that's mncatholic.org. And our elections page has a great array of resources. First of all, for forming your conscience, you can't give what you don't have. And so if we're not formed properly as Christians, in light of the teachings of our church and then the values of the gospel, it's going to be harder for us to both build a society rooted in human dignity and the common good, and choose candidates who will do the same. And so we provide an array of resources, particularly this year, an election year novena that covers 9 issues and has a bishop each day in a video offering prayer and reflections and then discernment questions as you're looking at candidates. So what are the way, how are, even if we learn about candidates, what are the principles by that we use by to evaluate them? And that's what we try to provide on our resource website, mncatholic.org/election. All kinds of tools. You can identify who your candidates are. Again, you get the links to where you can find your ballot. And most candidates have their own web pages. Google's a really powerful tool as well. And oftentimes, these candidates are very accessible. If you don't know where they stand on an issue, you can call them and you will get a response. They're very, very accessible. And again, Lawmaking is done at the local level by the people who show up, and a few hundred votes, even a dozen votes in some instances, can shape a statewide or a state legislative office. And we had a couple races last cycle decided by 12 or 13 votes. Mm. We might have a couple races, and the legislature could hang in the balance of 20, 25 votes. So it's very, very important that everyone evaluate the candidates and show up on election day.
Wonderful. What's you mentioned now a couple times forming our Catholic conscience, and of course this is something that goes beyond. Certainly it is involved in the political realm, but it goes beyond that as well. So, but give us some of your impressions about what are staple foundational ways that we can form our Catholic consciences, particularly in light of electing our leaders and getting involved personally in contributing to the common good. What are some of the elements that are involved with that?
Well, first of all, prayer.
Yeah.
Pope Francis says, you know, when asked about the American election on the airplane on one of his trips, he said, you know, pray, discern, and vote your conscience. And that's exactly right. Mm. So it all starts in prayer. And that's why when Minnesota Catholic Conference provides election year resources, prayer is a staple. That's why we're doing a novena that starts on Sunday, October 30th. Mm. So it's all about prayer. We can't create a society rooted in friendship if we don't have friendship in Christ. If there's no brotherhood of man without the fatherhood of God. So if we want to see in the light of Christ, then we need to be bound to him deeply. Mm. And it's through that lens of Christ, seeing in the eyes of faith is the first step to forming one's conscience. And again, conscience is not merely one's subjective feeling about any number of issues. It's not sentiments, right? It's the ability to make a proper judgment about the rightness or wrongness of a particular issue. Mm-hmm. In this case, a particular public policy or a particular candidate. So if we want to see properly, if we want to be able to make that judgment, have that power, then we need to see with the light of Christ. Then it involves studying and understanding our Catholic faith and the principles of the social teaching that have been given to us. The section called Man and Society in the Catechism is wonderful. There's, if you want to go deeper, there's the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church. But of course, in election years, the U.S. bishops put out a document called Faithful Citizens, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship.
Right.
That's a very long document, unfortunately. So what we try to do at Minnesota Catholic Conference is to distill that down. Mm-hmm. That's what the novena is for. Mm-hmm. That's what our discerning your vote, that one-page document is for. Mm-hmm. So we understand that people can't read, don't have the time to read in many cases all these documents, but what we try to do as a resource is to provide bite-sized, digestible ways of understanding the basic principles of the faith.
Oh, I love that. And one of the ways I know that you have been doing that as well, or one of the ways that you have done that, is you put together a little video featuring all of our Minnesota bishops, and I've watched it. It's fantastic. It's just over 2 minutes long. I think it's about 2.5 minutes. Yeah, and
yeah, that's the attention span of most viewers today. So 2.5, 3 minutes. Yeah.
Really, is it that long? I didn't realize. And well, tell me a little bit about was this in that same spirit of trying to distill down? Because I think obviously one of the things we as the lay faithful would like, we want to listen to our shepherds, right? And so we want to know how they would inform us, not to manipulate us, of course, but to form our conscience, to help us understand, to pray, discern, and then voting our conscience. Is that right? Is that what fueled this?
That's exactly right. The church and our bishops are here to serve and serve you in the task of being a lay disciple and a missionary disciple in the public arena. We propose, we don't impose. You should always follow your conscience, but you have a duty to form your conscience in light of the teachings of the church and give due deference and consideration to the judgment of the bishops. So that's why we put out the novena. Mm-hmm. To provide that deeper opportunity to distill the principles and understand those principles and then offer questions for discernment. But the election year statement that you mentioned is really an exhortation to the faithful, that really voting is an aspect of faithful citizenship, that even if there's problems at the presidential level or we're disgusted with what's going on in Washington, a lot of good and a lot of important things happen at the local level and at the state level, and there are good men and women in office, and they deserve our support and consideration. And if we want policies, again, that serve human dignity and the common good, we need to support the politicians and those elected officials who are working towards those goals.
Mm, yeah, wonderful. Jason Adkins has been our guest here this morning, and we do actually have the audio from the video that you have put together here that we're going to listen to in just a moment. But just before we say goodbye to you, Jason, any last words of wisdom, of advice as we continue on into contributing to not just with the election, but just in contributing to the common good and living out faith as faithful citizens, faithful Catholic citizens?
I think we always have hope. right? Yeah. I joke that I'm hopeful, I'm just not optimistic. But like as people of faith, though, we always have hope. We don't know why God in his providence does the things he does and allows the things he does, but we're called to not be discouraged, to be happy warriors, to live the joy of the gospel, and to work in a way that's chastened but not denuded. In other words, we want to have a realistic view of politics and its possibilities, not expect that the kingdom of God is going to be established by electing Republicans or Democrats, but that the choices and the actions that we do take in the political arena do make an impact in people's lives, and be content with sowing the seed and working brick by brick and building those foundations. And then you never know how God is going to bless those activities and how history is going to change. You know, who knew that 25 years ago, or everyone thought that communism was inevitable and part of the march of history. And, you know, when the Soviet Union fell, no one could understand it. And now Christianity in Russia, for example, is exploding. They're building churches and monasteries at an amazing clips. And so you just don't know how history is going to turn.
Right.
And so we just have to be faithful and do our part as faithful citizens and leave the rest up to God.
Oh, fantastic. An excellent word from Jason Adkins, who is the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Jason, thank you for taking the time and being with us this morning.
What a blessing. Thank you, Patrick.
All right. So now we're going to listen to the audio from the video that Minnesota Catholic Conference has put together, a message from our seven bishops here in the state of Minnesota in regards to being faithful citizens, forming our conscience, and participating and contributing to the common good.
Faithful citizenship means prayerful,
active, and responsible participation in the political process.
That includes knowledgeably exercising the right to vote.
With a well-formed conscience.
Voting is a privilege.
And an important duty.
It is an opportunity for God's faithful to love our neighbors.
By electing legislators who will hopefully enact policies
that protect the weak,
strengthen the family,
promote the conditions for all to flourish,
and ensure that citizens can practice their faith without fear of reprisal.
The responsibility of voting is especially important to Minnesotans this year.
Our entire state legislature is up for election.
At a time when many Catholics feel politically homeless and not represented well by either party,
this year's elections provide a special opportunity to work for life and dignity where it matters most,
in our own backyard.
Minnesota Catholics should not let frustrations with the presidential race
prevent them from participating in our many important local elections.
The choices we are to make on election day
are not always obvious.
We must rise above partisanship,
self-interest,
and emotions to elect candidates who are most likely to work for the common good
and govern in a manner consistent with God's providential care for all of creation.
We should prepare ourselves by forming our consciences,
studying the candidates' positions and character,
and turning to God for guidance in prayer.
As you get ready to cast your vote,
we encourage you to visit the Minnesota Catholic Conference's Election Resource Center
at mncatholic.org/election.
Here you'll find a novena to help you prayerfully prepare for Election Day,
resources to help you find out where the candidates stand on the issues,
and materials for forming your conscience.
Thank you for bringing your faith into the public arena. And don't forget,
don't forget,
don't forget,
don't forget,
don't forget to vote.
Hi, this is John. I often hear people wishing for good weather, for a big game win, wishing to get their plans done. At Catholic United Financial, your wishes do come true. We help families and individuals plan to protect and provide for their family, friends, school, church, and charity. Visit our St. Paul office or go online to Catholic United Financial. From there, you'll see the benefits of a member-based organization that has planned for 140 plus years in protecting members' wishes. Not-for-profit? Kind of sounds confusing. After all, a company should make money, right? When you purchase a product from Catholic United Financial, proceeds are given to support education, fundraisers, and members. You, in turn, benefit. Visit our St. Paul office or go online to Catholic United Financial. From there, you'll see the benefits of a member-based organization, an organization that has planned for 140-plus years in protecting members, not for profit. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. Good to be with you this morning. In this late October day, we are again reveling in the fallness of the season. Does that even make sense? It is autumn here in Minnesota, and it's clearly the case when we've got leaves falling around us and chill in the air, and we're looking forward to the Solemnity of All Saints, which is just around the corner next week for us. So we're just speaking with Jason Adkins, the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, on forming our conscience, on contributing to the common good, on living a faithful Catholic citizenship. And joining us on the phone now is Brian Wenger. And Brian has he's the speaker at a Higher Calling series on true leadership that's coming up Monday, November 14th at 5 o'clock p.m. at the Anderson Student Center here in St. Paul, on the St. Paul campus of the University of St. Thomas. Brian is the Executive Vice President and Chief Legal Officer at Optum, and he joined Optum in 2014 as Executive Vice President and Chief Legal Officer, and which means, as I understand it, he oversees all legal matters for the company, plays a central role in developing and guiding Optum's strategic growth initiatives, and participates in key enterprise initiatives across United Health Group. So it sounds like that keeps him very busy. He's done a number of things. He serves as chair of Briggs & Morgan for more than 25 years. He earned his BA from Marquette University and his law degree from Villanova, and he joins us now on the phone. So, Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, tell us a little bit about this Higher Calling series on true leadership, this event that's coming up on the 14th of November.
Sure. Well, this is an annual event that's sponsored by a variety of organizations at the University of St. Thomas, but particularly the Center of Catholic Studies. As you might know, Catholic Studies is one of the majors that's offered at the University of St. Thomas, and it's really one that is well received by the student body. I think it's like the 11th most popular major at the school. And it's one that's often coupled with another major where students have two majors. And the Center for Catholic Studies is really the group that develops and fosters that both in the St. Thomas students and in the broader community. Several of the graduates of that program are ones that live in the Twin Cities area and stay well connected. They also have had for many years a program over in Rome where students from that program would spend time in Rome together in community at a home over there, the Bernardi campus at Rome. So that's what Catholic Studies is all about, and this is really one of their major events of the year. It also has a fundraising element of it for the Catholic Studies program.
Right, and as I understand it, Brian, there's if for anybody's interested, there is information on the St. Thomas website under the business aspect of St. Thomas website. Is that correct?
It is. It's also sponsored by the business school.
Right. So if you are interested in this particular event, go to stthomas.edu/business and click on the events and news tab. Registration deadline for the event is November 8th, Election Day. So there you go. There's another thing that you can stack up in your memory about November 8th. And Brian, we were just talking with Jason Adkins about the upcoming election when we'll be electing a leader for us collectively as a nation, as well as other leaders in our community. And so you're going to be speaking at this event on true leadership. So what makes for a good leader?
Well, I think on the what makes for a good leader, there's a lot of commonality. But if we want to tie it just for a moment to what makes for a good leader of a nation, since you were just talking about that,
right.
I think maybe three things could be considered key. One is clarity. so that there's a clear vision, well articulated by the leader, so that people understand where it is that that leader thinks our country should go, and so that we understand with clarity what the position is of that leader on a whole variety of issues and challenges that face our country. So I think clarity would be number one.
Okay.
Number two, I think, is compassion. The reality is that we are a community as a nation, and we are a community as a world, and we are a leader in both of those. And showing compassion and respect for those that are in need and for those that are searching for direction and an understanding of the vision, be that here, be that in Syria, be that in our relationships with the other superpowers, that there be compassion for those who are affected by the power of the state, so to speak. And you know, that can be as easy as people on welfare, or you know, or people who are affected by the mass migration that's going on right now with the refugees. So I think number two is compassion. Number three, I think, is to be other-centric, meaning that you're motivating others to contribute to the common good, whether that be federal employees, whether that be other states, whether that be individuals as individuals, that we're trying to move forward and enhance the situation in which others find themselves. So how do we improve the world for others, I think, would be number three. So I think those would be the sort of the top three that I would suggest are qualities for a good leader.
Okay, so clarity, compassion, and being other-centric, and encouraging and inspiring others to contribute to the common good. So the way I'm hearing that, Brian, I can't help but hear that through my Catholic ears. And it sounds to me like there's some Catholic principles underlying some of these just general principles about what makes for a good leader. So how would you see the precepts and tradition of our Catholic faith providing a good basis for leadership? It sounds like there is some there already.
Well, I think it's intertwined. You know, if you were to read, Patrick, the some of the literature that comes out about what a good leader is from any of the great writers on leadership, I think you would see the fact that there is clearly Catholic traditions in it. Let me give some examples.
Yeah, please.
So for example, if you think of Winston Churchill for a moment, the great leader of England during the World War II, he was really setting an example, as Jesus set an example, of how to motivate others to contribute. If you look at people like Mother Teresa, who you could think of as a servant leader, Saint Mother Teresa, mm-hmm. she focused on the service of others, right? If you look at John F. Kennedy, his great line, which was, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. If you look at Ronald Reagan on the other side of the ledger, with similar principles. You know, these are all principles that are focused on how to improve the common lot for everyone and to protect the most vulnerable in our society, which I think is exactly what Jesus would do. And so really, I think we are effective leaders if we are engaged in some of the principles that are the underpinnings of our faith. And quite frankly, just to expand, the faith and the principles of other religions in the world, right? I mean, these are common themes that permeate those that are practicing some of the traditional religions of the world.
Right. So actually following up on that, of course, it seems like there's a divided opinion about how important any particular candidate for public office, and I'm thinking all the way down the ballot, how important it is that they are upfront about their own faith affiliation, whether that be, you know, Christian, Catholic, or Jewish, Islamic, whatever it might be, Mormon. Certainly, we've had some Mormon candidates as of late.
Sure.
So, but in your opinion, I mean, how much should we, the voters, pay attention to that? I mean, how important is it that they're explicit about their own faith life?
Yeah. So I think it's maybe what would be most beneficial for us as voters is a two-part answer to that question. The first part would be, what religious affiliation do you have? But as I just noted, I think there's some great commonality as it comes to leadership from the various predominant faiths in our community. The second is, what do you take from that religion? You know, are you spiritually guided? Do you recognize that there's a higher calling? Do you recognize that you can't do this all on your own? You know, this is not something that you can think through and have the answer. There's a need to draw upon a higher power and the need to listen to the higher power and learn from the higher power as you are making decisions and effecting your role as a leader. So I think it's identifying your faith, but quite frankly, and more importantly, I think it is, what are you taking from your faith that will guide you as you perform the roles that you have as a leader?
Brian Wenger is our guest, who, in addition to the things that I've already mentioned, also serves as vice chair at the University of St. Thomas School of Law. Brian, you're a member of the St. Thomas Board of Trustees, I see, and you serve on the University of Minnesota Foundation's Board of Trustees, and you're chair of Board of Affairs at the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity as well. So it sounds like you're a pretty busy guy and quite the leader yourself. So with that, I guess I would follow up with the question of these principles of leadership that we've been talking about. Of course, we've been relating them to the upcoming election, but it sounds to me like these are principles that could contribute to leadership, as you've already pointed out, specifically in the person of St. Teresa of Calcutta, who is not a political leader in and of herself in political office anyway, but certainly a leader in society and really around the world. But this is these principles, are they applicable to leadership in more what we might say everyday life?
No question, I think. You know, if you think, as I think about leadership and the definition of leadership, really it's being called to act as Jesus acted, act as God wants us to act. And really what that is, in my mind, is helping others. So if it's an employee, as an example, or it's a customer in a business setting, or it's a joint venture partner in a business setting, or if it's working on a nonprofit, some of the ones that you mentioned, what you're always trying to do, in my opinion, as an effective leader, is empower the others, enrich the others, motivate the others, encourage the others, engage with the others, recognize life from where they are. In other words, what is it that is their pain point, and how can you help to address their pain point? That would be a customer. With an employee, what skills do they need to be the best that they can be? Because if they are the best they can be, the enterprise is the best it can be. And if the enterprise is the best it can be, it will best be able to serve the motives and the goals of that enterprise. So I think these are very common principles that can be applied across any context, from one who's leading in a family, as you, if you want to sort of start with the family as a root. Sure. How do you engage with your children, how you engage with your spouse, how you engage with your siblings, you know, with your parents, to community organizations, to smaller organizations and large corporations. I think these principles permeate effective leadership.
Yeah, I completely understand and agree with what you're saying, that there's a need for these principles in every aspect of leadership. I can absolutely see that. But for those, I mean, it's these principles are there, and they're easily stated and perhaps pretty easily understood at least, but how would you encourage someone to actually develop these principles in their own life so that they might become a more and more effective and leader in whatever situation that they are in life?
Sure, sure. So I think there's some disciplines that are very practical that can enhance the way that someone is an effective leader. So for example, number one is, think about their leadership shadow, or said differently, think about the example that they evidence when they engage with others. How do they become a trusted advisor? How do they influence others? And really, I think the importance is, A, how do you hold yourself out? So number one. Number two is the expectations that you set for yourself and you set for others. So what is it that you are going to tell people you are going to accomplish it, and how do you evidence that you have accomplished it? What are you asking others to accomplish, and how are you measuring their accomplishment against that? And then how do you encourage yourself and themselves to reach those goals And how do you empower them with the tools and the resources to do it? So if I ask you to go and build a widget, I need to give you the tools so that you can do that.
Right, right.
And so I think those are some concrete examples of what one can do to help others through true leadership.
I like it. So the absolutely, in terms of giving you the tools to accomplish it. So I think what you're telling me is that the Egyptians forcing the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, to make bricks without straw, that was not an example of good leadership. That's what
that's
I'm hearing.
That's an
right?
example of frustration.
absolutely right. Our guest is Brian Wenger, who's with us and going to be the keynote speaker at an event at the University of St. Thomas, part of the Higher Calling series sponsored by Catholic Studies and the Business School at the University of St. Thomas. That's coming up on Monday, November 14th at 5 p.m. at the Anderson Student Center on the St. Paul campus of the University of St. Thomas. And more information about that can be found online at stthomas.edu/business and click on the Events and News tab. So, Brian, just as we say goodbye to you, if there's something, last word given over to you, if there's something that you can instill in every listener about what makes for good, faithful leadership, how they can progress, how they can become a better and better leader, what would it be? What's your final word to becoming a better leader?
Focus on the improvement of those who you lead.
Focus on the improvement of those who you lead. So it's, as you said, it's always others-centric.
Is that right? I think it is. I really think it is. You know, there was an acronym that was commonly used and certainly is used today, but I think came into the fore in the last several years, WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? And if you look back at the gospel, I mean, what did Jesus do? Those who were downtrodden, he helped lift up. Those that thought too highly of themselves, he helped knock down. Those who needed a message, he gave it to them clearly. It's really focus on those that you lead. And what is it at their point in life that they need to become better people? It could be compassion. It could be learnings. It could be a harsh warning. Focus on where the other is and where it would be optimal for them to get and help them get there in whatever way would be most effective.
Now I think that's an excellent, excellent word. As you said, and as you pointed out, it's something that's obviously modeled to us in the person of our Lord, as he was constantly motivated and focused on others, what they need. And we've seen that throughout the church, throughout effective leaders that I think are called pretty easily to mind over the course of our history. And hopefully that we can exercise that very type of leadership, regardless of whether we're in a position of political sway and influence, or whether we're living that out in the home or in the workplace, at school, wherever it may be.
No question. I mean, I would just add, if you would give me a second one, could you say
sure? Yeah, yep. You can have a second one for sure.
If you gave me a second one, would be where I started, which is clarity. For people to be led to where they can be better, they need to understand where you think the organization or they are going. So to help articulate a clear vision that can be embraced by those that you lead, and then doing that which helps them to get there, I think it's really a combination.
Okay, excellent. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour. It's been great to have you with us. I know you have to run off to another meeting, but God bless you and all the work that you do.
And you as well.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And thank you for listening in. We've got a few upcoming events to run through in just a moment. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and run through a calendar of events. So stick with us. Rediscover.
Alice could not believe her ears. Was she hearing this right? Her daughter was yelling at her. She was leaving again. How long would she be alone this time? Maybe a few days, maybe a week or longer. She already felt cold. And as her daughter walked out the door, Alice wondered if the neighbors could hear how she screamed for her to take her pills, to stay in the basement, and to not talk to anyone. That was last Thursday. And as she lay barely lucid on the basement floor, too weak to get up or even call for help, Alice began to wonder, could this be it? Or could there be help out there? If you suspect a vulnerable adult is being abused, neglected, or financially exploited, call the Minnesota Adult Abuse Reporting Center at 1-844-880-1574. You could make the difference. That's the power of could. Call 844-880-1574.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. It's been a great hour speaking with both Jason Adkins and Brian Wenger on true leadership, on faithful citizenship, and what it means to contribute to the common good regardless of our station in life. I think it's been a good show, Paul, don't you?
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and now, great preparation for a week from next Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's that close,
isn't it? It's creeping up.
It is creeping up. All right. Well, I know quite a few people will probably be wiping their brow when it's over, just glad to be through it.
I'm wiping my brow right now.
But we have many more interesting and more fascinating.
Lots of things creeping up here.
Exactly. Like what, Paul?
Members of law enforcement and first responders, along with their families and the public, are invited to a special Blue Mass, 5:15 p.m. Wednesday, November 2nd, to honor their courageous service and to ask for God's protection and blessings as we all work together to build up the common good. This Mass will be celebrated with Archbishop Bernard Hebda at the Cathedral of St. Paul. That's Wednesday, November 2nd at 5:15 p.m.
Young adults, college age and older, are invited to Cor Jesu. Join in the Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, and worship music and fellowship at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary in St. Paul. The next Cor Jesu is going to take place from 8 to 10 p.m. Oh, man, it must be for young adults if it's running that time of day.
That's a beautiful spiritual time of day, though, I'll tell you.
All right. Well, one night owl to another, I guess I can see that.
Okay.
Anyway, Cor Jesu, 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday, November 4th. For more information, visit the event page on archspm.org.
Faithful Art is a gathering of Christ-centered artists featuring art that is crafted, recorded, painted, written, and drawn by local artists. This event will be held at the Hamill Community Building, Saturday, November 5th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., with a musical performance by Nate Reinhardt from the band Sonar. He's also director of liturgy at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata. For more information, email info@faithful-art.com.
Men are invited to the Thursday, November 10th Catholic Watchman Rally at the Church of the Transfiguration in Oakdale. This rally will run from 6:30 to 9 p.m. with Archbishop Hebda presenting. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There will be time for adoration and confession and dinner. Dinner will be provided. Registration is not required, but a free will offering will be accepted. For more information, visit thecatholicwatchman.com. And if you have questions, you can always contact Enzo Rendazzo at RendazzoV, as in Victor, at archspm.org, or call 651-291-4483.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Have you ever asked God, what do you want me to do? Perhaps he's already showing you. Our Lady of Grace in Edina invites you to join them for a two-day called and gifted workshop, Friday, November 11th, Saturday, November 12th. That's what it runs, Friday, November 11th through Saturday, November 12th. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org or visit olgparish.org. For additional information, contact Sean Lavelle at seanlavelle@olgparish.org or call 952-929-3317, extension 113.
You know, Paul, that question, what do you want me to do, when directed at the Lord himself, is probably a good question to ask each and every day.
I'll go along with that.
Right.
Yeah, first thing in the morning and then throughout the day.
Exactly. St. Henry's Council of Catholic Women cordially invites you to their holiday boutique and bake sale on Saturday, November 12th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Social Hall of St. Henry's Catholic Church in Monticello. Come and browse their selection of special handcrafted items and delicious baked goods. I would browse those delicious goods. That's
for
sure.
I would do more than browse.
Exactly. For more information, visit sthenrycatholic.info. sthenrycatholic.info or call Lois at 763-219-9943.
And the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne invite all grandparents to an event of prayer, encouragement, and fellowship highlighted by the presentation Family Traditions in the Way of Perfection by Father John Powers. This event will take place Wednesday, November 16th, 8:45 a.m. in Steiner Hall at Nativity of Our Lord Church in St. Paul. For more information, contact the Nativity Parish Office, 651-696-5401. Us grand folks need all the encouragement we can get.
I'd like to encourage you, Paul.
I need it sometimes.
Well, you know, before we get to what's coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, I just want to remind everybody that we've got a holy day of obligation coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Next week, Tuesday, is the Solemnity of All Saints, November 1st, right? So make sure that you make time in your schedule for Mass on that day. And you know, Paul, I was thinking... you know, I am hoping against all hope. Well, no, that's not true. I'm hoping in the Lord, and I am hoping for admission after, I'm sure, an extended time in purgatory into the blessed realm of our Lord Himself, right? And
yeah.
So, but I don't really hold out any particular hope that that I will have a specific feast day. So you know what? I'm thinking November 1st is going to be my feast day as well.
You know? Well, that would be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm kind of celebrate November 1st,
well,
All Saints Day.
And that's something to keep in mind, too, on All Saints Day. We aren't just celebrating those whom the Church has recognized, but all who are currently
absolutely
enjoying the beatific vision.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Okay, so Holy Day of Obligation on Tuesday. Next week, on the Rediscover Hour, join me as I'll talk with Enzo Randazzo, the new men's evangelization manager with the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. We'll also hear from Archbishop Hebda on the Blue Mass, which will be celebrated for members of law enforcement and first responders, as we heard, November 2nd at the Cathedral at 5:15 p.m. And finally, we'll hear from Eileen Bach, who will share with us about the efforts of Rise of Relief in Haiti, as well as a status report from a recent mission trip. So we've got all that coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour. Look forward to being with you then. And in the meantime, form your Catholic conscience, be prepared to vote, go to church, and my friends, be the church. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.